brought to you by Penguin.
Lady of Quality by Georgette Heyer. Read by Catherine Press. Chapter 1. The elegant travelling carriage which bore Miss Witchwood from her birthplace, on the border of Somerset and Wiltshire, to her home in Bath, proceeded on its way at a decorous pace. This was dictated by her coachman, an elderly autocrat, who, having known her from the day of her birth, almost 30 years before, drove her at the pace he considered proper, and turned a deaf ear to her requests to him to put him along. If she didn't know what was due to her consequence, as Miss Witchwood of Twynham Park, he did. And even if she was an old maid, in fact, almost an ape-leader, though he would never call her one, and had turned off the impudent stable-boy who had dared to do so, after giving him a rare box on the ear, he knew very well how his late master would have wished his only daughter to be driven about the country. He had a pretty good idea, too, of what Sir Thomas would have felt had he known that Miss Witchwood had set up her own establishment in Bath, a few months after his death, with only a squinny old tough to lend her countenance. A mean bit, Miss Farlow, if ever he saw one. More like a skinned rabbit than a woman, and a regular gabble-grinder into the bargain. It was a marvel to him that Miss Witchwood was able to endure her bibble-babble, for she wasn't short of a sheet. Not by any means she wasn't. The lady thus stigmatised was seated beside Miss Witchwood in the carriage, beguiling the tedium of the journey with a stream of small talk. She was of uncertain age, but it was unkind to describe her as an old tough. And although she was certainly very thin, it was unjust to liken her to a skinned rabbit. She was a distant relation of Miss Witchwood, left by an improvident parent in indigent circumstances, and when she had received a visit from Sir Geoffrey Witchwood, and had grasped that she owed this unprecedented honour to his urgent wish to procure her services as chaperone to his sister, she had seen in his unromantically stout person a paladin sent by Providence to rescue her from a drab lodging, mean fare, and the constant dread of finding herself in debt. She was not to know that her prospective charge had fought strenuously against having her, or any other female, foisted onto her. But when she had presented herself at Twynham Park, nervously clutching her old-fashioned reticule, desperately anxious to please, and staring up into Miss Witchwood's face with frightened, pleading eyes, Miss Witchwood's heart had overcome her judgment, and she had had no other thought than to make the poor little creature welcome. Lady Witchwood, quite unable to picture meek little Miss Farlow as a companion, and far less as a chaperone, to the lively Miss Witchwood, took the earliest opportunity that offered to beg her sister-in-law not to accept Miss Farlow's services without careful consideration. "I am persuaded, dearest, that you will find her a dreadful bore," she said earnestly. "Yes, very likely. But I should find any chaperone a dreadful bore," said Annice. "So, if I must have a chaperone, not that I see the least need of one at my age, I'd as lief have her as any other. At least she won't try to rule my house, or to dictate to me. Besides, I'm sorry for her." She laughed suddenly, perceiving the doubtful look in Lady Witchwood's mild blue eyes. "Ah, you are afraid she won't exercise any control over me. You are perfectly right. She won't. But nor would anyone else, you know. But Annice, Geoffrey says—" "I know exactly what Geoffrey says," interrupted Annice. "I've known what he would say any time these 20 years, and I find him far more of a bore than poor Maria Farlow. No, no, don't try to look shocked. I dare say no one knows better than you that he and I cannot deal together. The only time when we have been in perfect agreement was when he assured me that I should love his wife." "Oh, Annis," protested Lady Witchwood, blushing and turning away her head. "You shouldn't say such things. Besides, I can't believe you mean it, when you won't continue living with me." "What a rapper," commented Annis, the laughter still dancing in her eyes. "I could live happily with you for the rest of my days, as well you know."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?